thank you, everybody. It is actually a real privilege to be talking on this topic tonight, the view from above the forest. And to me, it's a privilege because I get to share a little bit more of myself than I usually do. And I feel like, and this is my way of apologizing, of course, that tonight's talk may be a little longer than usual. I may go 10 hours instead of 8. No, that's not true. But with that, it's not so much the words that I'm interested in. It's not so much the concepts that I'm looking to have touch you. But it's, if you will, the miracles of life that lie in between the words and in between the lines and in between the concepts. And I feel deeply that today there's a gift for each one of us, and that it's no accident that each and every one of us is here. We are in this moment a community, if you will, a family. And we're a family of those who are called together soulfully, just so that through that soulful moment together, life can speak to us and life can touch us and life can do whatever the precious, special gift of life is that is here. And so in that spirit, it's my privilege to talk to you about the view from above the forest. And as I said, I'm especially excited to be giving this talk today. That is to be sharing with you some of what my own view and experience of life is from, if you will, that little perch that I sit on here above the forest of our precious human existence. Well, why, you might ask, am I so excited about this? Well, mainly because over the years I've come to believe that for all of us, our experience of our human world, external, internal, depends almost solely on the unique relationship with that world that we have. It depends on the core view of it that we have. It depends on the style of unity with it that we feel. So your view, my view, is as critical as possible in determining what our quality of life is here on Earth. And that's what today's talk is dedicated to. And like all of us, I've walked through a multitude of life's journeys and experienced many of its dilemmas, and I've tried hard to resolve its many puzzles and crack its confusing codes. And I've tried on numerous canned approaches, like all of us have, and mindsets in my own, if you will, long drawn-out attempt to make sense out of this adorable phenomenon called life. And I'd like to share with you at this momentary point along the spectrum of my life experience some of what I've come to see. First, though, I want to share with you that I'm aware quite fully, very fully, that each and every one of us could easily be giving this talk, or at least your version of this talk. What I mean is that each of you has had a similarly valuable journey as I have, and you've gained perspectives that we could all learn from. And what you're about to hear from me is simply the view that I'm privileged to have from, as our old buddy Mark Hansen in Fairfield, Iowa, is given to say, from my seat in the orchestra pit of life. And Mark, if you're there, old buddy, you are hereby recognized. Now, as you know, I'm not usually one to talk extensively about myself. In my perspective, it's almost always the person I'm engaged with who is the focus. And I've simply dedicated myself to being of service to that person or to those persons like you here today. So I usually only say something about me if I feel deep in my heart that that sharing will be helpful to that person. Well, today I'm going to break my own rule, and I'm going to give myself a rarely used permission to reflect upon our shared human scene through my experience, or if you will, through the lenses through which I see, or as I've come to know and deeply sense this awesome field of existence that we call life. So in that spirit, I'd like to share with you a brief picture of, you guessed it, me. Where I sit in life, how life is alive within me as well as through me, and what that remarkable life looks like as I experience its sometimes strange-looking workings and its creative meanderings on a daily basis. I want to emphasize, though, that this sharing in no way implies that you should see and experience life, especially your life, the same way as I do. No, indeed. As always, I'm intending this sharing to serve you as a starting point or as a source of reflection for you to attune to your own inner vision or feel the stirrings of your own inner wisdom or to get a clearer about what your own relationship with this gripping force field that we call human existence is. So here I go. In the next few minutes, I'm going to share with you two events that have taken place in my life. And to me, they've been two markers or turning points, if you will, or even two powerful initiations, two of them that I've experienced. And each of these events literally shifted my sense of who I was. The first one from a typical human identity to one where I felt and feel one with all life. And the second one from feeling identified with the allness of life to the very essence of life. So the first event happened, by golly, almost 20 years ago now. And since I'm only 25, I was 5. No, that's not true. And it followed actually more than a few years in which I was feeling strongly drawn to the concept and the experience of unity. And some traditions call it unity consciousness, others maybe integrative awareness, and others just a state of oneness. But whatever the name, I had given workshops on oneness for a few years. You know the saying that we often teach what we're trying to learn. That was there. And I felt a personal, powerful inner call to this phenomenon called oneness. Well, the event itself happened quite without warning, and in fact, in a way that I didn't even suspect. Toward the end of a weekend seminar I was giving, I suddenly felt quite weak all over, like my life force was quickly leaving me. So I quickly lay down on the stage, and immediately it felt as though who I was, or who I thought myself to be, or knew myself to be, just left me. It was like my very life force was being sucked right out of me. It was a really strange experience, like my identity just got pulled out. And at that point, it just dissipated into thin air and was gone. And in fact, from that moment, it was gone forever. Over the next many moments, I just lay there, actually unable to move any limb, move at all, barely breathing, not even with it enough to wonder what this was all about or what was going to happen. I was just barely in existence. And then after some incalculable time, I felt another force. It was like a huge presence enter the body and the person that was laying there. Whatever this presence, this force was quite unfamiliar, unknown to me. Yet it has never left me. In fact, it literally, in that moment, became me, became my identity, became myself. As you can imagine, it took me quite a while to integrate with that force. It took another hour or so before I could move any part of my body, and more hours before I could begin to grasp what had happened. And then, actually, it took many months before the totality of me felt totally integrated with this new presence. What was it? Well, in my view, it was life, and I tend to think of it as life with a capital L. Not just regularly perceived life, but really big life, the life that encompasses everything, the life that is everything, the life that lives everywhere with no exceptions, the life that doesn't perceive duality or separation, even though it easily and lovingly allows itself to be perceived from that separative angle. In short, I felt like I had been blessed with the gift of life. Better said, I had become life, and life had become me. And from that moment on, I've never felt myself separate from that life with a capital L. And from that moment on, I could no longer experience myself as a regular human being, no matter how hard I tried. And frankly, after a while, it became more and more boring to try. So I was one with all life, life one with me. No separation, no small individuality, no usual pull and tug within the ego, if you will, no sense of differences that really mattered in the big picture, no sense of otherness in relation to God, in relation to people, in relation to nature, plants, air, other universes, anything. Just the wonder of our shared oneness. Well, that was the first event. The second event occurred about 10 years later. And again, as earlier, I had felt it coming on for a few years prior to its occurrence, but I still had no conscious idea that anything specific was about to occur. And this second event, and actually it was really more a happening over time, happened right after Donna and I had closed down World Peace Institute in response to a great inspiration. And World Peace Institute was the nonprofit organization that we had formed in Washington, D.C. and run for about 10 years, I guess. And coincidentally, I think you'll find it interesting, we had centered that nonprofit organization and that approach to peace around the consciousness of oneness. So we just shut it down, and this time, over a period of several months, I felt like an invisible bubble wrapping itself around me, lovingly. Wrapping itself around me, pulling me and my consciousness away from external events and happenings, leaving me experiencing everything, and I mean literally everything, not primarily in its activity, in its expressiveness, in its out-there-ness, but in its essence. Not in its external expression, but in its isness. Not in its perceived human reality, but in its absolute centralness and potential. In short, I felt deeply wrapped in the essence of everything. The bottom line, after this many months-long process completed itself, was this. I sat permanently in the essence of every event. I viewed each person from his or her divine core, his or her essence. I saw everything from the perspective of its innate truth, rather than the stories or beliefs or illusions that we so often make up about it. And I felt, interestingly, for the first time in my life, what it must be like to be God. And as happened with my earlier experience of oneness, essence has continued to claim me, and I it ever since. Well, essence is, as you know, really a difficult theme to explain. Once you say about one short sentence about it, you've about exhausted the vocabulary that can describe what it is. Well, that limitation of language notwithstanding, I'd like to offer a few more words about what essence is to me, what it is in me, what it is as me. To me, it's that aspect of life that is the core truth of everything and everyone. We all have it. We all are it. We all are the core truth, and then we are the trimmings as well. It's the non-expressive, that is, it's not about external expression, the non-expressive quality of the huge potential that lives in every one of us. I think also essence is the underlying invisible force that quietly and unobtrusively gives life to everything. It's that essential something, that quantum, that core reality out of which life comes to everything. It's the mighty but humble power that lives behind the throne of every creation. It's who you are, who I am, who we are at the core, in our hearts, in our souls, in, well, our very essence. So for me, I didn't just have a privileged seat in the middle of life's essence. I became essence. And essence took me over, became me, lived as me, through me. And it, and I now one with it, it began to use my human form, my human voice, my human gifts as a stronger and stronger point for creating. Creating love, creating connections, creating miracles, creating healings, creating transformations, creating creations. So there you have it. in simplified version and omitting lots of details, you have a sharing about how I got to the perch that I occupy over life's forest. So from this point on, I want to first of all thank you for allowing me the seeming indulgence to share about myself. And I'd like to show you what I see, how I see it, what life looks like from that precious little perch over the forest of life, from these two perspectives, oneness and essence. There, just needed a little drink. So I'd like to share with you four aspects of what life looks like from this precious, precious perch. First, from this expansive view, we can see life in its unity and in its creativity. We can view everything as a whole. That's the unity. That is, we can perceive it in its togetherness more than in its separateness. We can see its many forms as an ongoing, unified, creative act. We can see life as a precious blend of everything, every possibility. That is, life everywhere, life on Earth, life among the human family, life throughout the universe or multiple universes. Life everywhere is one giant creative act. It's a creation bigger than anything our human imaginations can conceive. It's a creation filled with innumerable, endless possibilities, each one of those possibilities being played out in one or more dimensions, lived out in countless expressive forms, most of which aren't even available to our human senses, and each one expressing one small facet of the everything that is life. Life is huge. Life is ever creating. In this above the forest view of life, life is vast. It's endless. It's filled with creative possibilities. In this view, we recognize that being human is great and grand, and it's only one small aspect of a giant pattern of ongoing creative activity and ingenuity and beauty. We can see that everything in and about the human scene is a piece, a small piece, but an important piece, a necessary piece of a much larger picture, just like, to be absurd for a minute, just like the cell in your large toe, I just had to say that, is a small but vital piece of the 100 trillion celled body that you occupy and body which hosts your very presence here. Without that single cell in that toe, you might not be fully who you are. So we notice from this perch that this bigger picture of life is creative and it's unified. We don't see just any one piece by itself. We see it together with other pieces. We don't see that piece in opposition to any other piece. We don't see any one force pulling or tugging against another. Instead, we perceive that everything, everywhere, is in a state of blended harmony. It's in a, maybe hard to understand humanly, but in a some mystically understandable, graspable synchronicity. It's in a blended chorus of cooperative patterns. Yes, we see the true picture of life not from its small, petty, dualistic perspective necessarily, which frankly more and more I've come to see as an illusion, an impressive illusion, but an illusion, but we see it in its bigness, in its vastness, in its endlessness. Life becomes some incalculable, amazing picture of creative possibility, all in a way that feels totally integrated and totally unified around something that even if we can't understand it, feels more and more miraculous. So also, in this first view from over the forest, we can see creation everywhere. And here's how I like to think about life as creation. So once the essence of life decides to speak, creation happens. And everything from that point on is what I feel as, what I perceive as, what I experience as a creative moment. Yes, There are, as I experience it, trillions upon trillions of creative moments, creative sparks, creative expressions, creative wonders that are occurring within each and all of us, throughout the whole human family, around the globe called Earth, in every corner of our Milky Way and countless other galaxies, in the millions of other universes, and in and through every possible dimension of life. It's all a creative moment, a creative spark. It's all creation from every possible angle, in every possible form. From this viewpoint, isn't it silly, at least to me it seems silly, to evaluate one style of creation in relation to another, or to judge one as better or worse than another, since, after all, each style of creation has its own beauty, its own splendor, just as it is, even if we can't see it through our limited perspective. Whether that creation is the shape of your very body, whether it's the quirks of your personality, whether it's the unique circular swing of our planet around the sun, each creation is magical, wondrous, and deserving, I believe, of our awe. Also, from this vantage point, I have the utter privilege of perceiving every person I meet as a meaningful complement of myself. Wow, this person is another version of me, another completion of me, another facet of me. I have the privilege of perceiving every event as a friendly, purposeful visitor into my world, something that I invited, life invited, so that I could have a special experience. I have the utter privilege of perceiving every circumstance as part of an amazing unfolding whose very mystery deserves my respect. And I have the privilege of perceiving every thought in myself or every thought in you or another, as a small piece of life's unfathomable display of options, creative options, potential options. So the implication, of course, is this. It may just be a waste of our time to judge anything according to that dualistically good, bad, positive, negative, healthy, unhealthy mindset. While that approach may be entertaining, and it certainly is, it equally can take our focus away from the true miracle of life, which is, I believe, where we all deserve to live and in which we can so find Earth's, life's, humanity's, the world's, the universe's truth, vastness, creativity. So that's the first view from over the forest. Ready for the second view from that cute little perch above life's dramas? Well, here it is. Life looks more and more like an illusion. Like, literally, it's not happening. I remember during the few years in which I felt that bubble wrapped around me while I was sitting in the middle of life's essence, everything around me started feeling more and more like, gee, this is unreal. Or like, this sure seems like a dream. Or simply like some creative phantasm or fantasy that was playing out in the inner imagery of my awareness. In truth, more and more I felt like I was watching a movie more than what I called reality, a movie that, again, was entertaining, certainly, but a movie that was perhaps exactly that, entertaining fantasy. So more and more I asked myself those perennial questions. Is this real? Or is this really happening? Or why doesn't this feel real like it did last year or 10 years ago or 20 years ago? Of course, as we know, these are the most basic questions of life, the phenomenal or phenomenological and existential questions. And of course, they've probably never been fully answered by anyone who's been alive. And while I don't claim to have the ultimate answer to these irksome questions, I would like to share with you some of what the possible answers look like to me. First, there can be enormous liberation, freedom, when we simply realize that life is primarily a make-believe game. That's right, a fantasy-filled, play-like, creative, make-believe game. Just like it is when little kids play Tea Party, or like we create in and through our Santa Claus game, or like we play out our fantasies on Halloween night, or maybe like everything else that we have come to call life. The bottom line of it all may be, it's really not serious. In fact, it's really not happening, at least not in the way that we're primed to call reality. You know, there's a great little quote that one of you sent me just recently. It's by Hafiz, the 14th century Muslim Sufi mystic. And it goes like this. What is the difference between your experience of existence and that of a saint? The saint knows that the spiritual path is a sublime chess game with God, and that the beloved, God, has just made a fantastic move, that the saint is now continually tripping over joy and bursting out in laughter and saying, I surrender. Whereas, my dear, I'm afraid you still think you have 1,000 serious moves. Well, I don't know about you, I just think that quote is totally adorable and to the point, and I think it speaks for itself. We can't rationally explain that life is an illusion because we have trained our precious human mind to perceive everything within the confines of this world as real. And yet, may I say it again, how freeing it is to think outside the box of that seemingly reality preoccupied view. So, in this second view of life from over the forest, I leave you with this thought. It doesn't really matter, theoretically, whether life is real or isn't, whether it's an illusion. What does matter, though, is that we have the same freedom in living as we do in fantasizing, that we feel the same fun in our daily life as we do on Halloween night, that we let love and its inspiration live as fully in and through us during the summer as we do during Santa Claus season in December, that we find the same joy in celebrating each moment as we do when we're pretending and playing games. What matters to me is that we find the same freedom, the same permission, the same expansiveness in every moment. And if calling life an illusion helps that, by all means, let's call it an illusion, and if it doesn't, let's forget the term. In my view, the beauty of living a fantasy is this. It invites me into the daily mystery of living. It allows me to stop trying to figure out the serious meaning of it all. It speaks life's fun messages into my heart. It offers me the same freedom that I would have if I were simply playing make-believe. In short, from over the forest, we find the unseriousness and unreality of it all, and in that very discovery, we find enormous freedom and joy. So, let's move on to the third view of life that our shared perch over the forest offers us. It's pure and simple. You ready for it? I think it's cute. Here it is. 1, 2, 3, 4. There are only 4 words. There's nothing to do. That's right. There's nothing to do. Now, as that simple but powerful sentence settles into our depths, let me explain a bit. Since everything is one giant whole, or hologram of life, if you will, and since everything we see is a giant creative expression, you and I, and in fact everybody we know, you and I are integral, intimate parts of that whole, and we are a dynamic part of this sweeping, giant act of creation. Therefore, we have, I believe, and I think this is just too great, we have, I believe, 4 main purposes here on Earth. The first is to enjoy and be in awe of the creation as we experience it daily. The second, to let go into life's amazing creation, to surrender our individuality into its undying mystery, to allow our awareness to be taken fully into its wonder. The third purpose, to find the special and unique way that life wants to and is primed to express in and through us, and to live those creative expressions as fully as possible. And the fourth purpose for living life here on earth is to become life, to embrace life, to literally let our identity be subsumed into life, to become life as fully as we will allow ourselves to do so, to let life become us in the special ways it wants to let our individuality be as fully subsumed into life's wholeness and fullness as is possible. And it is possible. These, I truly believe, are the only real purposes in living the earthly existence, at least as I view it from that cute little perch. To be in a state of wonder and awe, to celebrate life in its bigness as well as littleness, and to become life itself. It's that simple. And my point is, none of these require any work on our part. As I said in the beginning, there's nothing to do. Whew, what a concept. Nothing to do. Well, I'd like to spell it out briefly, a little more emphatically, by making 3 points. One, we can't earn our way to nirvana or oneness or liberation, since all those qualities already exist within us. They are our divine nature, our divine heritage, so there's nothing to attain. Number two, there's nothing to fix, nothing to remedy, nothing to heal, because there's nothing wrong or missing or lacking in us or around us in the first place. Those concepts that there's something wrong with us or with our world are simply constructs of our mind, simply fantasies or stories that we've come to believe. But in the bigger picture, they're just part of the make-believe, part of the movie we're watching. It's not necessarily the real picture. And third point, there's only life to be lived. Life to be lived in its creativity, in its immensity, in its ingenuity, its mystery, its wonder. Life, this life that I'm just describing, in its bigness, has no need for our stories, our interpretations, no need for our healing, our fixing rituals, no need to funnel its vast creations into the narrow constructs through which we often invite them. Life wants only, I believe, to celebrate itself. I want to say that again. Life wants only to celebrate itself, which means to celebrate us, you and me, and every plant and every atmosphere and every planet and everything. Life wants only to celebrate itself and to celebrate essence itself, that unnameable causal force and presence that we've come to call God. So all our well-intentioned stories, if they lock us into an attitude of seriousness or a ritual of hard work, are basically useless. Granted, they keep us preoccupied, entertained, they allow us to feel purposeful, but in the bigger picture, and really, I'm not begging you to let them go. If they feel that meaningful, by all means keep them. But in the bigger picture, they're unnecessary. I like to view them, frankly, as like decorative trimmings. You know, they give the human experience a certain interesting look, but they're in no way an essential part of the picture. I wonder if we're ready to take the simpler approach. And that leads us to the fourth view of life from what is perhaps our now more comfortable perch, and it's this. God sees only our beauty, celebrates only our perfection, needs only our receptivity, and delights only in our magnificence. If we look at life, especially human life, through the eyes of God, that God who is pure essence, whose primary motivation in imaging or imagining creation in the first place is to put pure essence into a mode to be celebrated endlessly, then what do we see? We see only one thing, the utter, amazing beauty of all creation, and that creation includes you and me. and the beauty of our supposed enemies and persecutors, and the perfection of everything that any of us and all of us have ever perceived and could ever perceive. Could it be, do you think, that all God wants, God or the divine or the infinite, the creator, the nameless source, the higher power, or whatever name we choose to call it, that all that God wants for us is to celebrate himself, herself, itself, by celebrating ourselves and by celebrating all life? Could it be that simple? From my perch, it is that simple. Wow, what a view, this fourfold vision. As I mentioned earlier, this is how I perceive the world and all life at this fleeting moment in my life. It's how I see it, experience it, and feel myself to be it. To me, all life, every dimension, every parallel existence, every expression, all life is living right here in your midst and my midst. All life is us. That's the real truth. Despite any learned human preoccupation with feeling separate from it, and it keeps whispering within us from our soul. It keeps waving to us through other people's words or what we read. It keeps inviting us into its wonder through our own inner processes. And it keeps loving us, loving us, loving us, loving us. So I'd like to conclude this somewhat long talk with a simple invitation. Very short, very simple. And I'd like to be so bold as to consider myself for this moment that voice of life that is reaching out to you simply, yet I hope profoundly, with these concluding inviting words. You are here in this moment to be reminded, to be awakened anew to the truth about yourself. The truth is this. You're working entirely too hard at life. Let it go. Accept and own your freedom. Your freedom whose voice is speaking from within you today. Just be. Be your truth and be at peace. I love you. I want only your complete immersion into life, into me. Come to me now. And that, my precious, beautiful, amazing, wonderful friends, you who truly are the mirror of me, expression of me as I am of you, that concludes this talk, and that opens, I hope, each of us to the bigger voice of life, the bigger wonder of life, and all the miracles that life wants to bring into our experience, into our presence, into our human forms, into our consciousness, into our bodies, into our energy fields, into everything that we are in this moment.